great intent. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, More Than Human. More Than Human. Before we look at our text, let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving for this text. And we pray, Lord, that as we study it, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to the goodness of God, the grace of God, and the power of God, and help us to take from it applications we can use in our own life or share with another life. Help us to understand it all for your glory and our good, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10. Concerning this thing, this is Paul speaking, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, most gladly, I will rather boast of my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Wow. Last week, we talked about, we had a message called Less Than Human. It was about our confirmation process, how God is squeezing us out of us so there's more room for him. We talked about how being less than human, spiritually speaking, meant that less of our human nature, less of our fleshly nature would be taken from us, so that we'd have more of a godlike image of Christ. We'd be more formed in the image of Christ when we lose that fleshly part of us that has nothing to do with God. It has to do with us. We looked into what it means. This morning, I want to talk to you about the other side of that coin, being more than human. And you are as much less than human, and now you're more than human. The text is about the thorn, of course, that Jesus gave Paul after his trip to glory. He gave him a thorn or thorn, and that may be a metaphor for some type of adversity to keep his mind focused on serving Christ down here. Because he wouldn't. If you went to heaven and you saw and heard what he did, you might be a little out of focus with this world. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the adversity or the thorn was. That's not what's important about the text. What is important to know is that with the thorn that Jesus gave him, he also gave him the power of Christ resting on him. He gave him that. And why did he do that? He gave it to him to help him deal with whatever it is that Christ gave him. And when Christ's power rests on God's people, whether it's Paul or you and I, they become more human than they do without that power. Proof verses Philippians 14. Remember this, all the verses in the Bible, you can read them, but if you're not a child of God, you're not going to understand them and you're not going to be able to claim them. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All of God's children have his power resting on them, and they have the ability to do all things. Period. New thought. And using the term all things, Paul is referring to the more than human ability that God gives his elect people to do different things. It's the power. All things is Christ's power on you to do all things. What does all mean? Without exception. It's here to help you to deal with any trial or any adversity, to perform any duty that you're called upon to perform, or to subdue the hungry flesh. You have the power, all the power you need to do those things. And as a new creature in Christ, God gives the elect more than human abilities to deal with the issues of life. Listen, you're born again. Your life is different than the rest of the world. Why? Because you have the power of God resting on you. You have his power inside of you to do supernatural things that you couldn't do or can't do without it. How about I give you a proof verse for that? How about Psalm 23:4? David put it this way: "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There's nobody on the face of this planet that had more reason to fear than David. That man was hunted like an animal for 12 years by King Saul. And every single, and he had about 800 men with him, or 800 people with him. And all of those people had to be fed. All of those people had to be safeguarded. David had to be safeguarded. There were spies all over the place. God protected him during those 12 years, and only because he trusted in him. That's the power of God resting on David. And to be clear, to be very clear about this, God's power resting on you doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that he'll remove the affliction or change the situation. He didn't change the affliction with Saul. He kept Saul on him for 12 years. It was part of his plan. He didn't change the lions when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. He didn't change the situation. "You're going down, Daniel. Trust in me. I'll take care of you." Same with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were willing to go in the furnace because they trusted in God. They loved him more than they loved themselves. And that's the power. The power's in the love. The power's in the trust. Doesn't mean it's going to change. What it means is his grace will strengthen you to help you to get you through whatever it is you're going through. He's there for you. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not." And it, by the way, that "fear not" is written 365 times in the Bible. I guess once for every day. "Fear not, for I am with you." I am with you. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God." I am your God. That's what he's saying. I'm your God, Mario. I'm your God, Wendy. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's going out of way to use adjectives to describe how he's going to help. In this case, Isaiah's people, or the people of Israel. He's going to help them. And it's very important, after saying that, that we have an understanding that unbelievers, people who are irreverent to God, the ungodly, and all Christian hypocrites, the 21st century evangelical church today is populated mostly with tares, hypocritical Christians who read the Bible, who have a cross, who have a church, who sing hymns, who throw money in a bucket, but they don't live for Christ. And when you don't live for Christ, you're a hypocrite. You're claiming the cross, but you're not claiming the blood. And it's the blood that you need to get the power. They are not, those people are not new creatures in Christ. So they are not more than human. Ephesians 2:12 tells us that without Christ, the lost are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's the state of every single person outside of Jesus Christ. You're not there. You have the power because you have the love, and it was imputed to you. And I want to tell you something. If you're one of these people, the irreverent, ungodly unbelievers or Christian hypocrites, any of you, I don't care if you go to church. I don't care if you read the Bible. I don't care if you memorize the Bible. I don't care if you claim the Bible. Only those, make no mistake about it, only those who love God biblically, only those people can claim the power of being more than human. John 14:23 makes that very clear. "If anyone loves me," Jesus said, "he will keep my word. And my Father will love him," and here it comes, "and we will come to him and make our home with him." That's the good news. That's where the believers are. "He who does not love me does not keep my words." In other words, you can read the words, you can hear the words, but if you're not living the words, they're not coming to live with you. Simple. The Bible testifies the only power resting on the unsaved, the lost, or the worldling, or counterfeit Christian. The only power resting on them, and they have power resting on them for sure, is the power of their spiritual father in John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, the Bible says. And the desires or the power of your father you want to do. That's hard stuff. I never would have believed that before I was saved, that the devil was my spiritual father. But I sure knew I was dead to God. I knew that, but I didn't like the other thing. But it's all true. In addition to that, in our text, John 3:36 testifies that God's wrath is also on all of those people outside of Christ. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and that belief means living for Christ. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. We all had that on us. That's what death, fearing death, is all about. And it's for that reason Isaiah tells us, there is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked. They can't have peace. Why? Because they don't have that peace, which any peace that comes from God. They don't have the power of God in their lives. Now, if you're listening to this and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you what I ask you every Sunday. What in the world are you waiting for? Are you happy with your life? Do you like the power you're working under right now? Do you like that power? Are you happy with just having a religion if you're calling yourself a Christian and not living for Christ? Are you happy with just having a religion and no relationship? Or do you want to have a personal relationship that's powered by Christ? A relationship that will make you more than human. That's something you want. If it is, to get that's very simple. All you have to do is repent of your sins and sincerely repent of your sins. And then invite Christ into your life. Say, Lord, I need a Savior. Realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Repent of those sins. And then ask him into your life. And Romans 10:13 says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you really want Christ in your life, he's there for you. You see me or call me if that's you. Now, getting back to our text, after Jesus spoke to Paul about not removing his thorn, what did Paul say? Therefore, most gladly, he said, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, I want to tell you something. Paul understood the principle. He understood the principle that suffering was a way of drawing closer to God, because you have nobody to help you except him. By trusting in him when everything else failed you, actually before they fail you, trust in him. And he knew that. And by him understanding that the power of Christ was resting on him, when he understood that, he believed that, and he anticipated that, when all of that happened, Paul became more than human. All you have to do is look at his exploits and all the things that he talks about, and I forget which, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, about being shipwrecked, snake bit, stoned, in fear of countrymen, in fear of robbers, all the things he went through, all the things he did, he had the power of God to get through them all of them. And I dare say Job was the same thing. When his wife came up to him after he'd lost everything and said, curse God and die, he said, foolish woman, I came into this world with nothing and I'll leave it with nothing. And it's because he knew God. And he knew he had nothing, and everything was from God. Paul understood the spiritual principle of the parable of the vine. I wonder how many of us understand that principle the way he did. In 2 Corinthians, in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Do you understand that? No matter what you're going through right now, the vine is never moving. It's always there. It's always filled with sustenance that you can use. All you have to do as a branch coming off that vine is want that vine to help you and trust in everything in that vine. That's the principle. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. The strongest point you'll ever be in your life is when you're weak. Why? Because the power of God rests on you. He's not going to change the situations, but he's going to give you the power and the strength you need to get through them. That's the difference. Your connection to Christ, your connection to Christ as well as how well you're connected to him is what makes you more than human. There are many, many believers who have the power, but their connection is sometimes loose. And it's loose because of their lack of submission or their lack of obedience or their lack of staying in the word or their lack of fellowship. Something causes it to be loose. I don't know if any of you have cats, but if you have cats and they like to frolic and you have things that are plugged in, sooner or later, they're going to loosen that connection. And when they do, things are going to flicker. And that's exactly what happens to believers in the power of God. It flickers when that connection isn't plugged in all the way. Plug it in. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Just trust God and take the power that he's given you and say, okay, I don't care. It's done. I care because it happened to me, but I don't care. I'm going to get over it because you're going to give me the power to get over it. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. We're talking about an omnipotent, sovereign God who can do anything. He spoke everything into existence. He did not create it with his hands. He's not a potter, although he is a potter. He's used that as a metaphor. But he spoke everything into existence because he can do that because he is omniscient and omnipotent. I don't understand how people can get so upset that they say, and say, let me cry out to God. I can't tell you how many times in my life I just had enough. And I just went to God and said, Lord, what was I thinking? I need you. I don't need me. I had plenty of me before I had you. I don't need you and me anymore. I need you for everything. I'm fed up with me. And then he tells us in verse 6, John 15, he tells us he's in 5, he's the vine and you're the branches. And then in 6, here's what he says that happens to those people who are not connected to them. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather and throw them into the fire and they are burned. That's a metaphor. If you're not plugged into Christ and you're plugged into the devil, whether you like it or not, God said it. Sam Wigglesworth, a long time ago, said, if God said it, I believe it, and that's all there is to it. And I believe that same thing. Because I want you to understand something. Everything I'm telling you, these aren't my words. This is God. These are God's words. They're coming from his word. These are scriptures that is him speaking to all of you, both online and in this auditorium. I want to tell you the point Jesus and all the writers of the Bible make. The point they all make is when God's power rests on a soul, when God's power is on you, you become more than human. You have supernatural abilities. And you know why I can tell you that without a doubt? You know why? God has to make us human. He has to make us more than human, rather. He has to give us supernatural abilities. You know why? Because he demands so much from us that if we didn't have them, we could never do them. I'll give you an example. We're commanded in Mark 11:25 to forgive everyone. If you have anything against anyone, he says, forgive them. How in the world can we forgive anyone if we don't have the power to do it? It's not our nature to forgive. Our human nature is vengeance. But when you get saved, you're a new creature. You can do that. I can't tell you how many people I went up to after I got saved and said, you know what, I was a real jerk about 2 years ago, said some things that weren't very nice and probably were a little illiterate. But you know what, I want to just tell you, I even forget what they were, but I know they were bad. I want to come to you and I want to apologize. And that person said to me, where's Brian? Who are you? They didn't believe it was me. But it was. And the reason was I want to forgive everybody. I've had people accuse me of things I didn't do. And I said, okay, you're sure I did them. Positive you did them. You'd point me out in a lineup. Absolutely, I'd point you. Okay, forgive me. Please forgive me. I don't remember it. Forgive me, please. And I've had some say, yes, okay, I forgive you. And I've had some say, well, I got to think about it. It doesn't matter what they say. It only matters that I'm willing to forgive everybody. And that takes superhuman power. You cannot do it without it. How do we know that's true? Because we couldn't do it before we had the power resting on us. The world can't forgive. That's one of the problems they have. We're also commanded to love our enemies. In Luke 6:27, Jesus said, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Now, loving your enemies is not a human thing to do. We beat them up. We ostracize them. We do anything we can to stay away from them. And if we have to hurt them, we hurt them. We don't care. That's how life is. And if you don't believe that, go online. Go online and see how people are hurting each other. They're enemies. You got in politics, you got the right, you got the left, and you got everybody in between. And they hate each other. Why? Because they don't agree. Why? Because it's all pride. And why? Because there's no power of God resting on them. They're unforgiven. Right? Unforgiven. Love your enemies. How in the world are you going to love your enemies if you don't have the God's power resting on you? How do you do that? You can't. You absolutely can't. And how about this one? And we're commanded to kill our fleshly desire. Commanded to kill our fleshly desires. Colossians 3:5. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And the flesh, you know, people think we're talking about the flesh, fleshly desires. You're thinking of it in a sexual term. It's not. Your flesh, it covers the whole gamut of your emotions. And God commands us to get rid of it. In essence, Joe, he says, get over ourselves. That's what he's saying. How do you do that without the power of God resting on you in Jesus Christ? How do you get over yourself? If you could have done it, you would have done it years ago, but you can't. You never get over yourself at all. You know why? Because before Christ, the only person you really loved, yeah, you loved your children, yeah, you loved your loved ones, yeah, there was a love there. It was a conditional love. It was always in your heart. I mean, you wouldn't bring them any bad harm, but sometimes you didn't really love them a whole lot, okay? God put his love in your heart. That's why you can do this. Because you have unconditional love inside of you. And he loves you more than anything else in this universe. Including his own son. He loves you the same, not more, but he loves you the same as Jesus Christ. Fleshly desires, get over yourself, give up the flesh, be conformed to the image of Christ, all of that stuff. You can't do it without having more than human powers. And the way you get them is the power of Christ rests on all of us that know him as our Savior. It's the only way you could get through anything in this life. It would be impossible to do any of those things and all the other things. I didn't even mention all the other things that God requires his children to do. We could never do them without his power resting on us and making us more than human. And how do we know that's true? Because the Bible has so many wonderful metaphors it uses to describe God's power in us. In Romans 8:35 to 37, he tells us that we are, ready for this, more than conquerors. You know what conquering means? It means you go into a place and you take it over. Everything in there, you're in control of everything in there. And he's telling you that you're more than conquerors through Christ. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall, here comes, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, what? We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Through him who loved us. Do you not understand that? You cannot conquer anything in this life, especially yourself, unless you have the power of God resting on you. And so it sort of is, it's sort of, in our generation, the evangelical Christendom is so lukewarm and almost non-existent. It's a vapor. It's barely there, because they don't understand that they have the power of Christ, but they have to live for Christ. They want the rewards, but they don't want the obedience and submission. And that's the key. That's what unlocks it all. And I'm here to tell you this morning that our supernatural powers and our being and the powers we have being more than human go beyond the physical realm. They go into the spiritual realm. In Luke 10, 18 and 19, our Lord Jesus imputes his disciples with more than human power. He says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you understand that? Would you turn there with me? Would you turn to Luke 10, 18 and 19? I want you to read that with me. Luke 10, 18 and 19. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You know what that meant? That meant that because they went out and they were witnessing of Christ, Satan was doomed. It was his doom. Behold, read that with me. I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And the next two, and nothing, say nothing again, nothing, yes, nothing shall by any means hurt you. You understand that? You know what a flesh wound is? A flesh wound is if you take a knife or a bullet, hit you and it breaks the skin, cause a little bleeding, doesn't hit any muscle tissue, really scratches it maybe, any bones, it's just flesh wound. Everything in this life that affects you is nothing more than a flesh wound. That's all it is. There's no mortal wounds for you. You already died with Christ. You were baptized in his death. You were resurrected with him, and you will be with him, and he is with you, and he is sovereign. And he says, I know all the walls that are around you, and I will deliver you. And I don't care what it is. Anybody get that? That's wonderful stuff. And I'll turn to John. This is another one, 11:25. John 11:25. I'll read this one. Here Jesus is testifying to, I think it's Martha. He says, we have in him, he says, Jesus testifies in him, that is Jesus, we have more than human power over death. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. You're never going to die. I mean, I'm ready to do a twirl. I mean, that's really good stuff. Why? Because I can apply it to my life. It's an application. He's telling Martha, yeah, okay, your brother's dead. I know he's dead, but he's not dead. I'm going to bring him back. Trust in me. I am the resurrection. So anything that's going on in your life today, you have to realize that that same thing applies to you. His resurrection power is in you. And they may kill you, but you're never going to die. You're going to transfer at the very worst. And there isn't one person here that hasn't had the rug pulled out from underneath them, and they were laying on the floor wondering, how am I going to get up? What am I going to do? This, that, and the other thing. And they had nobody. Now you have Christ. And the hardest thing about that is you got to trust in him. You got to say, yes, Jesus, this hurts. I can't take this. I need you. You brought me to a place where I need nothing but you. Comfort me. Strengthen me. Jesus Christ himself, after he was tempted in the desert by the devil, after he went 40 days and nights without eating or drinking, he was tempted in the devil. He had to actually be strengthened by angels because the human part of him was so weakened. He knows how you feel. That's why his power rests on you, to give you all the power you need to do anything in this, on this, anything in your life. You'll get through it all. I don't care what. In addition to the more than human power we have in the physical and spiritual world, here it comes. This is the closing part. We also have the power to change ourselves. We have the power to change ourselves. Now, that's something you and I never had outside of Christ. We were who we were, and no matter how much we tried, the New Year's resolution thing only worked for about 3 weeks for me. For some people, it was 4 months, but for me, 3 weeks, and I was back to where I was. I didn't give up anything. Very difficult to give things up. Impossible to give things up. Why? Because your flesh rules you. If Christ isn't in you, then your flesh and the devil is ruling you. I think it's 2 Timothy 2:26 says that when you talk to unbelievers, you should do it in peace. That perhaps if you do it without getting all, I forget what the text says, but it basically is if you talk to them in peace, perhaps the devil, they'll be released from the bondage of the devil. In other words, meaning that maybe God will call them if they see the light in you and you talk like the light is in you instead of beating them up with the Bible. And that's to show you that we are in bondage to sin. We are in bondage to the devil. You can't change yourself in that predicament. Only when the power of Christ rests on you. And I want to just say this. All of us have traumatic sin issues that we have carried around in our lives for some people all their life, other people decades or years. Traumatic sin issues. And there's no other way to remove a traumatic sin issue from your life than applying the more than human power that rests on every single believer. There's no other way to remove it. You need to use the power that God gives you. He gives you faith to believe. He gives you a measure of faith. And he says that if you have faith, he told his disciples, you can move faith as a mustard seed can move a mountain. It's a metaphor for anything in your life. Why? Because God's there. If the power of Christ rests on you and you can claim that you love your enemies, if you can do that, if the power of God is on you and you can tell Satan to take a walk, resist the devil and he will flee. If you can do that, then you have more than enough power inside of you to remove the terrible burdens you've been carrying around all these years. I don't do that anymore. I tell you the truth before God. I don't carry around any burden. I don't even remember this stuff. I don't want to remember this stuff. Why? It serves no purpose today. It burdens me. And I dare say there isn't anyone here that has had anything worse happen to them than happened to me. And I've had nothing worse happen to me than happened to you. The point is, there's no reason in remembering them and bringing them up because they do nothing but debilitate you. Both in the physical realm and they debilitate you in the spiritual realm. They do that. You have enough power. If you can tell Satan to take a walk, you can love your enemies. You can forgive people that you really didn't like, and you can still do that in love. If you can do all of that, then you have the power to change yourselves. You just got to want to do it. How about some of the burdens? I'll just give you a couple of burdens. Negativity, that's one of my favorites because I don't know how people can be negative and be a believer. I don't understand that. As a joint heir with Christ, if you're negative about anything in this life, you are committing the sin of unbelief. It means if you're negative about anything, you don't believe Romans 8:28. You don't believe that if you're saying, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And look what happened before. Look when I turned around and I saw it. You don't believe Romans 8:28. It says that all things work out for your good, even the things that happened to you in the past. How do you think you're here this morning? It started somewhere and he started it and it did work out for your good. And ultimately, it will work out for your eternal good. But you got to believe it. You just can't say, yeah, Romans 8:28 says everything's going to work out for my good. Yeah, that's great. And then all of a sudden, somebody pulls a rug out from underneath you, and you go, oh, man, what am I going to do now? Can't do that. You know, you're either on the team or you're not. If you are in Christ, live like you're in Christ. Have that Christ-like attitude in everything you do. It doesn't matter what it is. You don't believe Isaiah 26:3. We looked at it this morning. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You don't believe it. Your heart's moving all around. You're moving around. I can't stand. I got to do this. I got to do that. Or that happened and this happened and tomorrow that's going to happen. That's all sin. That's all sin. You can't love. Not only do you have the sin of unbelief, you can't love because being negative breeds fear. Did you know that? Fear is a child of unbelief. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Okay? There is no fear in love. He's talking about unconditional love. There should be no fear. But perfect love casts out fear because fear involves what? Torment. And isn't that true? Isn't negativity and unbelief torment? Oh, part of you believes in God and part of you does this and the other part says, well, I don't know, this could happen, that could happen, blah, blah. No. No. It involves torment. And you can't please God because of negativity. Because negativity is a lack of faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Negativity is probably the number one enemy of Christians, believing Christians. And they all suffer from it. And I don't know why. I can't figure it out. There's no possible way that could happen. Because there's so much evidence that says the opposite. That nothing negative can happen to you. You can't please God because negativity is a lack of faith. If the power of Christ rests on you, listen, then turn on the power of being more than human. And here's how you do that. Negativity especially. By thinking less of yourself, which is what negativity really is, and more about Christ. Let me say that again. Think more, less about yourself and more about Christ. All your negative thoughts, what are they about? They're about you. Get rid of them. I mean, it's so obvious what the flesh is. And if that doesn't work, if you try this and it doesn't work, my suggestion is that you read all of 1 John. Read the whole 5 chapters. Read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. Keep reading it. Then examine yourself, as the Bible says, to see if you're in the faith. You have the power. You have it. You can turn it on. You turned it off, by the way. When you got saved, you know, you were like, God, now I'm saved. I know the Bible. I can be a Christian. I'm going to heaven. All that power's there. You felt it. But as time went on and the world got a little intermingled, you ever hear the parable of the sower? How do you think those three seeds fell away? They were all excited at first. And then all of a sudden, the world and the self and all the afflictions came in and just eroded them away and they apostatized. Read 1 John. I tell people that all the time. If I was in that situation, and I'm not, but if I was, I tell you, knowing what I know now, this is what I would do. I would read 1 John until God came and saved me. I'd never let him go. I would hug him every day, even if he didn't like me. Who was it that did that in scripture? Never let him go. Jacob, he wrestled with him all night long. That's what I would do. I'd wrestle with God. I'd read 1 John and say, you know what? I'm probably not saved. So God, I'm coming. You better be ready, Lord. I'm coming. I love you and I'm coming whether you love me or not. I'm going to make you love me. I'm going to make you love me. And you know how I'm going to do that? I'm going to submit my life to you. Even if you don't give me the power to do it right now, I'll do everything I can for you. And not because I don't want to go to hell, but because I want a better life now. That's what this book is all about. A better life now. Read 1 John. And here's the reason why. Negativity, unbelief, all of the things that are, these are all the looking, we'll get to that in a second. They're sins. And it says in 1 John 3:9 that the child of God, it's hard to hear, but God says you can't practice sin and be an elect child of God. Here it goes. No, turn to 1 John 3:9. 1 John 3:9. No one, John writes, born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and here it comes, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. You can't practice sin. All of that stuff you've been hanging on to is sin. Maybe you weren't aware of it, but you are now. Uh-oh. You're aware of it now, so you got to take care of business. You got to get rid of it. Get rid of it. You cannot keep on sinning because he is born of God. And how about looking forward or backward? Oh, that's another common sin issue that many people have. The sin issue, what is that related to? It's very closely related. Looking back and looking forward is closely related to negativity, and it is the sin of discontentment. It means where you are now, you're not happy. I got to go for what about tomorrow? What about this? Hey, what about what happened back there? And that happened back there. Why can't that happen now? That's discontentment. It's a sin. It means you're telling God, I don't like what you're doing with my life right now. That's what you're doing. Looking for something else. It can either be good or bad. Looking forward or backward can be either looking for the good or the bad. It doesn't matter. That sin is because you have a divided heart. That's really what it boils down to. In Luke 9:62, Jesus told those who were preoccupied with worldly things. Guy says, hey, I'm going to follow you, but I'm going to go bury my dad. And what did Jesus say? No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You're not fit. He doesn't care. And in Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife, she paid a pretty good price for looking back, didn't she? But now let me give you the good news. That's the bad. If you're holding on to negativity, if you're filled with unbelief, if you're going through all these things in life and they're troubling you, and you're always seems to be in a quandary of I'm happy but I'm a little sad. I'm a little sad. I'm not too happy. I'm getting joyful but I'm not really at peace. If that's you, cut it out. The power of God is on you. You're a born-again Christian. You're going to heaven. You're joint heirs with Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Get over it. You have that power. Turn it on. Just don't sit there and look at the button. Turn it on. And the good news is a believer is more than human. The power of Christ rests in them. That in itself, having the power of Christ resting on you, that in itself should be enough. But if that's not enough, how about this? How about what we talked about here this morning at the table? How about Christ's second coming? You know, he's coming again. Nobody knows when. A lot of people like to be stupid and make these little accusations. Well, he's coming back on November 28th, 2026 at 4 o'clock in the morning. Be ready. Have your bags packed. Puppycock. Nobody knows when he's coming, not even you and I. And you don't even know when he's going to call you. You don't know when he's going to call you. Death comes at a very inopportune time for many people. And I want to remind you of something. As a born-again Christian, when you leave here, you're going to leave here with the relationship that you have with him now. And if you're not happy with that relationship, if you're wishy-washy, if you're negative, if you've been holding on to things for years and years and years, imagine standing in front of your Savior in a metaphoric sense with all that being revealed to him because he knows you that well. He knows everything about you. Clean up and get ready and then buckle up. It's a wonderful life if you put the power on and you don't let the little pity things of this world and your flesh hold you back. Don't let anybody or anything Jesus said, I have come to give you my joy and my peace. Listen, his joy and his peace, he had to die to give it to you. How much do we dishonor him when we're negative about anything? When he says, bring me your burdens. How dishonoring is that to Christ to do that? Don't do it. Turn the power switch on. What are you going to do? What are you going to take? What do you have that you can't get rid of? A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, said, or it was A.W. Pink, he said, anything that keeps me from God must be destroyed immediately, and I'll burn it. That's what you got to do. It's God above all things. I leave the trash of the world behind and look forward. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life in your presence of fullness and joy at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Christ is coming. You have eternal life with him. You have pleasures at his right hand. You have the blessings of him now. You have all this stuff going. Why in the world would you be sad about anything? Being more than human is not only a power source, it provides freedom. The freedom I'm talking about is freedom from negativity. You have the power to change yourself. Use it. Don't abuse it. Use it. Change yourself. And by the way, the only way you won't is if you don't want to. And if you don't want to, you better start reading 1 John. So use the power of Christ this week that rests upon you and free yourselves from the eternal issues and sin issues you deal with. That'll glorify God. And at the same time, you'll realize that you really are more than human. I leave you with the words of Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be removed. Let's pray. Father, you get me all excited with these verses and these thoughts because they're so true. And I know they're true. They're coming from you. But God, they're so easy to do once you want to do them. Lord, if there's anybody listening that doesn't want to do this, would you, Holy Spirit, remove that spirit of rebellion from them? And would you replace it with the spirit of obedience to get rid of them? Would you do that, Father? I know it's your will. So I would ask you that in Christ's name. And for the rest of us, Lord, let us teach us, Holy Spirit. You indwell us, you guide us and lead us. You are the power in our life. Help us to turn that power on and become more than human every moment of the day. Not just when there's adversity, but every moment of the day. Let us rejoice in God and let the world see that we are more than human because our Father in heaven has empowered us to do supernatural things through Jesus Christ, his Son, our brother, our Savior, Lord. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Closing hymn, blue hymnal. We'll stand and sing a couple of verses of 370. Victory in Jesus. And there is victory in Jesus. 370. Let's sing verses 1 and 3. Skip 2.